Welcome to the Home Project Podcast, where we talk about cultivating a thriving home and developing meaningful relationships. I'm Kelsey Harris, a therapist in training.
And I'm Alicia Anderson, an intentional homemaker, helping women feel confident and authentic home life.
This is where everyone has a seat at the table. I have such a fun story to share today.
Do tell.
Well, this last month was a little bit tighter for Jordan and I financially. We got a puppy that we weren't planning for. She was kind of spontaneous and XYZ. I felt like the Lord asked me to do certain things with our money that I was kind of like, but then what about rent? So I just, you know, kind of did that. And then the end of the month was coming up and I was getting a little stressed because I was like, Lord, all of a sudden there's a lot of things that I feel like I didn't account for, or like, now how are we going to make this work? So I was like, oh, I'm trying to trust the Lord. It's just, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt like he asked me to sit down and add up specifically, like, not only things that we were needing, but a few things that like we were wanting, or maybe that would be considered a little less necessary with like skincare products, maybe stuff like that.
Right.
So anyways, I take like our normal budget and add up, you know, this and this and this. And basically the big grand total was $1,000. I was like, okay. I was like, okay, Lord, I guess I'm believing you for $1,000. And I'm like, you know, he's helped me. He's provided for me in this way before.
Yes.
He can do it again, whatever. So literally I didn't even, it wasn't some grand like, oh, Lord, thank you. Like, I didn't pray for hours. I literally added it up on the notes page of my phone and said, cool, $1,000.
Yeah.
And so I said, babe, we're believing the Lord for $1,000. And he was like, cool, got it. And then, which actually, I remember talking to him a few weeks before and I had said, oh, I think we're going to need to believe Jesus for $500. And he goes, well, why don't we just believe him for a grand? I just remembered that he actually did say that. So anyways, I wake up the next morning, I go to take the dog outside and I see a note taped to our front door and I instantly panic because I'm afraid of like getting in trouble with rules. I was like, what do we do? Like, do we have a violation? Did we leave our trash can out? Or like, did we not pick up dog poop and they know that it was us? Like, I just was instantly stressed while Ray is like trying to go to the bathroom. Come back, grab the thing, open it up. And it's like, hey, we love having you guys a part of the community. We wanted to offer you an early, what's it called? Early bird release. Or no, early bird lease renewal.
Yeah, yes. Lease renewal.
Special. They were like, if you renew before the 13th of May, anywhere between 6 and like 24 months, we're going to offer you a $1,000 Visa gift card. And I literally almost dropped the letter and I was like, are you joking? First of all, we were already planning on renewing. So like that was just kind of cool. And I was like, Lord, you literally just did that. Like yesterday, it was the day before that he said, ask me for the number you need. And I said, okay, it's $1,000. Literally $1,000.
That is amazing.
Just to raise your faith, if you're listening.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I think if we've been Christians for a long time, we forget and get comfortable with like, yeah, the Lord provides. Yeah, he does provide. But sometimes we have to ask for what we need.
Yeah.
So there's your
reminder.
It's
funny because I know this isn't what our podcast is about today, but I think we should park on this for a minute. Anyways, God's been teaching me about his kindness. And how sometimes we don't expect the best from him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, he's our heavenly father and he wants us to have those things that we need and the good gifts. And like, he's been challenging me to put my faith out there for these things that I have been praying for, asking for, you know what I mean? And even makes me think about when you were in college in Bethel. I think it was your first year.
Yep. I always think about
this
story.
We were just talking about, maybe you can tell the story because it's really... I mean, it's our testimony, but
yeah, no, I had a balance of like 1800. I feel like it was a number like
good
that
amount. Yeah.
$2,000 maybe left on my tuition. And because it's a ministry school and it's not traditional college. So there's not aid. There's not really payment plans. It was kind of like,
you have to have
pay
this money
by here. And at that point I didn't have a ton of money. So I'm pretty sure you guys had said,
I think we'd given you some, but we'd given you what we had. You still had a balance outstanding.
Or like you guys were going to help me figure it out. Like we were kind of all in it together. Just like, Lord, what do we do? And I remember,
we were in New Orleans.
I was going to say, I feel like we were in New Orleans and I got an email saying, oh, your tuition has been anonymously paid off. And it was the whole thing. And I was just like, what the heck? Because I had not been fundraising and you could have done that. Like people were doing that. I did not fundraise. I did not put my link anywhere. I wasn't really telling anybody.
Yeah.
And so that's somebody what's more amazing. It still bugs me. I'm like, who? Because they would have had to know my full name and like exactly. You had to go to the website, go to like navigate to students' tuitions, type in my name, find my thing, and then pay it off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who? Who knew about it? And who did it?
Like, do you know what's amazing is Jaden and actually and I and Jamie were talking about this the other day. Like, he remembers that. He remembers we were at Cafe DeMont getting
Beignets. Outside of it in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. When we found out.
Yeah.
And you were like, guys, I have to tell you what this email says. And like, literally, I think we just all sat there and cried because to this day, like you said, we still don't know who paid that balance.
No.
But it really rose our faith and encouraged us. So hopefully this moment here of just talking about what God can do. If you're like, believing for something, he sees your need and believe that he can see to it.
Yeah. I feel like it's also like building blocks almost of faith of helping you lean back on, because there are several moments now where I look back in the moments, even the other day when I was like, okay, I know that you have like, okay, I know you didn't suffer me before, but like, that's kind of a big number. But then I was like, no. My tuition's been paid off. This has happened. Like, kind of reminding myself, I have these historical markers of the Lord being faithful, and that is what he's like, and he'll do it again.
Yes, he will.
And he did that.
That's amazing.
So, anyways.
Makes me think of the song All of the Sudden that we've been listening to a lot lately.
It's a very good song, All of a Sudden.
Yeah.
But anyways, as exciting as that is, that's not what we're talking about today. But we will be talking about raising your faith expectations another day. Today, we're talking about just expectations in general. So self-expectations, expectations within relationships, marriage, friendship, family. What are expectations? These are a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. So like we said, we're not talking about having expectation that the Lord will do something. That is a good type of expectation. We need that type of expectation.
Yes.
We will talk about that on another podcast. Today, we're really talking about what expectations do we have of ourselves? Where do they come from? When do they become unhealthy?
Yes.
And how do unrealistic expectations in relationships get us into fights and stuff like that? So, where do the expectations come from?
Yes.
Expectations are actually firmly tied to our needs, desires, values, and beliefs. They kind of paint like a mental picture of how we think things should be. Some of these also can stem from our upbringing, right? Our parents teach us things that maybe become an expectation. If you always go on vacation and sightsee until you can't walk anymore, then your expectation with your own family going into vacation might be, let's jam pack as much as we can do.
We have had to face this in our family, haven't we?
Yes.
We grew up with different expectations.
Because dad's expectation of vacation was laying on the beach doing nothing all day. Mom's was, let's go everywhere until our feet fall off.
And plan every single minute of vacation.
And then, you know, they had to kind of create their own new reality together. But so that's just one example of kind of when you grow up with something, or say you expect to always live in a clean house.
Yeah.
And you move in with a roommate who doesn't keep it clean. Then you're kind of like, oh. So it's like you don't necessarily walk around all the time going, oh, this is an expectation I have. Oh, this is an expectation I have. But
even taking it a step back, like, and I'm not saying this is my family, but like maybe someone expects that the worst is always going to happen to them because that's what they grew up under, or, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it can be very vague, but also can be very specific. But you realize how much those can play into our current, you know, life situation by what we've kind of grown up under watching and being a part of. And like you said, even our parents kind of forming those neural pathways in our brains.
Totally. Expectations are also just like beliefs of like this, I think this is going to happen. So there are obviously good expectations. There's the part about faith that we're not touching today, but we just want to make clear that is a good type of expectation.
Yes.
But there are also some bad things that can come with having problematic expectations and all sorts of things. So when does this become a problem?
Well, good question.
Well, expecting good things from life is actually a good thing. It's a sign of self-worth, But what happens is that a lot of us don't just expect good things. We expect exact outcomes.
Mm.
So, for example, this is from an article. We don't expect a good relationship. We expect to meet someone who is 6'1", makes over $50,000 a year, lives within a 20-minute drive of our front door, and went to one of three specific universities.
Yeah, right? Very specific list.
So this is, it's not that we are just expecting, you know, oh, I'm expecting some romance from my husband. You are expecting specifically princess treatment, and you have XYZ in your head of how that should look like, right?
Flowers and chocolates every day.
Every day of my life. So these are when it becomes a problem, because a lot of the times we can't determine what's going on around us. Not a lot is a sure thing. And if we're letting our beliefs in our mind, like, I have this very specific outcome, this is how it's going to be. And if we don't know how to reconcile with ourselves when that thing doesn't happen or doesn't pan out, then that's when it becomes problematic, because you're just always sad.
You're always seeing the glass half empty.
Yeah. So kind of like I just said, these exact expectations will also affect our response and resilience to little things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an expectation that, what were you saying earlier? Like that life is hard.
Like if we expected that everything in life is hard, or that it always doesn't go our way.
So if you have this expectation of just like, yeah, the world sucks and everything is going to be hard. When you spill your coffee, instead of just being like, oh, that's like a bad thing, whatever, it turns into like, you now have no good expectation to fall back on, no resilience, because that just spirals you into going, oh, see, I knew the world was out to get me, blah, 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 everything sucks, coffee's all over me.
Bad stuff always happens to me.
Exactly. Also, in a relationship setting, there's a quote that is, unrealistic expectations are premeditated resentments. So this is kind of like when we believe that we, if we have an unspoken expectation that it will result in whatever we want, that's not going to be good. Because if you have never told your husband that you like flowers, but you are assuming and expecting him to bring you flowers every day, you're going to be disappointed. And then you're going to turn into a resentful person.
Yeah. Going to cause some issues. You can even look at self-expectation and like, how does this impact us before we even can step into the relational side of it? And
yeah, that's true. So self-expectations are more like ideas we have for ourselves of how things should go. So maybe a realistic example of a self-expectation is like, I will get some work done this week, right? That sounds attainable.
Yep.
More than likely, if you have a job and you are a responsible adult, you will get work done this week. Or for me personally, it is, I will do something creative this week, because I'm trying to work on that. And I'm like, yeah, that's, I can do one thing that's creative this week.
Yeah.
Unrealistic could be, I will tackle every single big project that's in front of me in the next 3 days, and then I'll just be done. Or for me, like, I tried this and it didn't go well. I will paint or write songs for an hour every single day this week.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Well, we actually lay a foundation for frustration. And I know for me personally, this is, I want to achieve a lot. So, and I have a high capacity, but sometimes it's at the expense of myself. So I put this high expectation on myself. For example, if I have a to-do list, often my to-do list is very unreasonable in terms of what I can accomplish. And so I might look at it and go, yeah, I've got like 25 things on there. And then I get up one day and I'm like, oh, I think I can get through every single thing on my to-do list today. Because that's what I want. I want to be able to cross it all off.
Yeah.
But it's not realistic because I don't have enough time in the day to actually get through it, but I set the standard for myself.
Yeah.
And I kind of set myself up to be frustrated or to kind of feel like I failed, because I know I can't actually get through it, but I'm sure going to try.
Yeah.
And then I go through the day, and it's not that I have a bad day, but I only get maybe 3 things off of the 25. But instead of going, you know what? That's amazing. I got 3 things marked up. I'm like, oh, I didn't get all the things done on my list.
All the stuff I didn't do.
And then I become a really unkind person because I'm frustrated with myself.
Yeah.
and how many times then we start to let that spill out into our environment.
Yeah. I think this really has to do, your specific example has to do with perfectionists also, because we want to reach the state of completion.
Yeah.
And that like is what we want. And
just not gonna
happen. Yeah, if we're honest with ourselves, there is never going to be a day where we are completely done with everything.
Yeah.
Because there's always, in today's culture, there's always going to be a message we can answer, a thing we can do, a room we can clean, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, setting yourself up well to think, you know, try to set realistic goals. Maybe undershoot if you're kind of doing what you're doing where you're like, maybe put two things on there.
Approach it differently.
And if you get three, cool.
Yeah. Or even just stopping yourself in that moment. Like, this is something I've been working on. Like, okay, I have to take a minute and celebrate what I did do and be grateful that I got to do those things instead of focusing on what I didn't do. But that just takes a mental shift.
Yeah.
I think part of that too, at least I'll speak for myself, being Enneagram too. Not that we're really like trying to push Enneagram, but I am a people pleaser, and that almost sometimes includes pleasing myself, my self expectation. So I put this like pressure on myself because I want to, it's almost like in past seasons, I wouldn't say this is true right now, but I getting stuff done was equivalent to feeling value of myself. So by putting this high expectation on myself, if I can accomplish these things, then I am somebody, which sounds really, when I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, wow, that was really, but I think in the back of my mind, that's what was driving some of these high expectations as I was trying to bring value to myself in a place where I hadn't found my identity in the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a real thing for sure. I also think sometimes if we grew up with parents that placed really high expectations on us, then it is easy for us to be not like strung out on high expectations, but kind of just like high level stress because we're holding ourselves to an insane standard.
Yeah. I mean, we want to take it right down home. Like there are things that obviously Dad and I did that have put expectations in that you now have had to walk through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I think just like you guys being high capacity people.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, this is why it's so interesting, like, when you grow up and you start to unpack everything, blah, blah, blah. Like, everyone has a different experience of the world. So, it's not even that I'm saying being a high-capacity person is bad.
Yeah.
And it's
this
that
isn't a blame game.
I took the expectation of, like, Andersons, we are high-functioning people.
Sure.
And I put, like, pushed myself to the bad extreme.
Yeah.
Now, I literally work until I burn out or until my husband makes me sit down. But I'm not sitting here going, oh yeah, if you, it's because you guys expected me just to work hard all the time.
No, but that's what you watched us do. Like we had very full plates and in seasons, like that was all consuming. And you obviously grew up under that. Mm-hmm. Now we just did what we knew. So everybody, this isn't like, oh, blame your parents. It's like recognizing that they did the best they could do.
Uh-huh.
We did the best we could do and what we knew. But if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
And so that's why like having these conversations are so valuable.
Yes.
Because once you know and you can actually address some of these things in your lives, it gives you the opportunity to function from a different place, from a place of peace.
I also think this is what we were talking about in the beginning, where some expectations come from upbringing.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that you watched your parents have an expectation, so therefore you have it. Sometimes that is the case.
Right.
But it's also, oh, my family, these were the rules of my family that we are high-functioning people. That wasn't like you guys told me, you guys need to work harder. Like, it was just like, that was what you guys had learned or had to do.
Yeah.
And so that was the rules of our family at that time, for lack of a better word, not like rule, but like principles maybe.
Yeah.
So then I adopted that and put that on myself as an expectation.
Yeah.
So, but how do you make peace with this? How do you, you know, reconcile when you're not meeting your own expectations, when you're worn out from your own expectations? A great place to start is having grace and acceptance for yourself. So in those moments like that, you are realizing, oh my gosh, I only freaking did three things in my 25 to-do list. How dare I do three things? It just trying to be like, okay, you know what? The reality is this is what we got done today.
Yeah.
No attitude that I have at the current moment is going to change that. Like, no expectation I have, like, whatever I thought I was going to get done, let me, like, come to terms with reality.
Yeah.
Reality is I got three things done. Reality also is I have the next month to do whatever. Or, like, you know, kind of time it out, whatever. But just having grace for yourself. You have to learn. You have to unlearn stuff you might have grown up under.
Yeah.
You have to relearn what works for you. And also, there are different seasons. There are times when you will be able to have a certain set of expectations for yourself, but then say you have two little baby kids under three.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that your expectations are going to change because your abilities are going
to
change.
Yeah. I think that's actually an important thing to talk about is changing of seasons. And like, I went through this recently where I was trying to do some stuff that I used to do on a regular basis, like for myself. And I was just like, man, what is wrong with me? Like, I used to be able to push myself to this level, and then recognizing, oh, I'm in a totally different season where physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever, I can't push myself like I used to.
Because you're old. I'm just kidding.
I am not old.
I'm kidding.
I'm about to be 50 young. And fabulous.
Everybody thinks you're my sister, so that's fine.
It's true. But like just giving yourself grace to recognize that, you know, and I was thinking about even when what you were talking about, the whole high expectation, like I realized not only did I look at that list and go, oh, I didn't get this things done, I would also be hard on myself for having such a high expectation of myself.
Yes.
Like, why did I think I could do all of that?
Yeah.
Like, then you start to like question your ability to like
make
this expectation too.
I think another thing I just want to share from what the current season I've been in, kind of vulnerably, I guess, is I have been historically a very high capacity person.
Yeah.
And I am now in a season where if you are looking at my schedule, you're like, well, she has a lot of free time. She doesn't really do a whole lot. Like, she does some stuff, but she should have all this time. And I have had a hard time of, it's like now that I have stopped and slowed down the pace I was running in, so has my brain.
Yeah.
My brain literally is like, nope. We're not doing
Thank you.
We're not doing 5,000 things at one time anymore. So you're going to do two things today.
Yeah.
And I've been like, what is wrong with me? Like that thing of just like, what is wrong with me? Like, I am a high capacity person and now I'm overwhelmed when I have like two things to do.
Yeah.
But I think part of that is me recognizing my season and recognizing I have to be okay with, it doesn't matter what other people think. I don't have to explain myself to others. It's me and the Lord. Like, the Lord is slowing me down on purpose so that I can work on some other emotional layer, mental things for myself that I was blatantly ignoring when I was fast-paced running 50 miles an hour or whatever. I don't know how to translate that.
Yeah.
Translate that. But so just to have grace for yourself, and it's a process. And part of that process is learning to let go.
Yeah.
Letting go doesn't mean that I start to feel annoyed that I'm not meeting my expectations and I just ignore that annoyance. No, it's I acknowledge my feeling. Oh, you know what? I'm feeling pretty disappointed that I didn't get the 10 things done today. I only got two things done. It's okay. I feel this. I recognize I'm disappointed, but I'm going to have to just let it go and move on and figure out a new game plan for tomorrow. Like, so it's not ignoring your feelings, but learning to let go is learning to acknowledge them and then move on from them.
Yeah, that's good.
And then another thing that's super helpful, I think this was actually your idea, to turn to thankfulness. Mm.
Yeah, I think it's an important piece because when we bring in gratitude for what we have accomplished or what we have done or what, you know, maybe just where we are in life, I think it pulls away from us focusing on the things, the negative, the disappointments. And again, like you said, it's not that we don't acknowledge those things, but we don't sit there and stay in that. And I think for me, I would stay in the disappointment and I would get in a real funk and I couldn't get out. And so then that just spilled out into the way I treated my family, the way that I treated myself. Like it just went down the road because I would just get stuck in that bottom of the wheel and not know how to get out. So I think and sometimes it requires almost just having this conversation with yourself and going, you know what? it's okay. I know this is disappointing, but like you said, but we're not going to stay here.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually choose to look and go, you know what? I'm so grateful I was able to get the laundry done and the floors mopped today because wow, that needed to be done and that feels good. And just celebrating that or whatever it is, whether it's, you know, something with work or.
I feel like it also can change the course of your day. So say you get to noon and you're like, oh, I have this whole plan. I was going to get 5 things done by noon. But you only worked out and did homework.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of being like you're saying, get in a spiral and then tank the whole rest of your day. Because then you're just in a rut. You're like, oh, you know what? I'm so thankful I was able to move my body this morning. That really set myself up well for a good day.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful my brain was working with me for me to get my homework done.
Yeah.
Now let me look at the rest of my list in my afternoon and prioritize and push things off.
Yeah. Well, and I think while this is not necessarily about the spiritual side of things today, it's really mental health. I think it's still important to say you can invite Holy Spirit into that process 100%. With you to say, Holy Spirit, like, I'm having a hard time letting go of this expectation. Would you come and help me? Like, He is always there waiting and ready to, you know, and so many times when I feel like I don't know how to deal with that inner frustration, I've just had to stop and actually invite Him in. And it's amazing how quickly, or, you know, just sit and worship for a minute and just allow the Lord to help me navigate that. It's a, He is, you know, all knowing. He knows when we're frustrated. And so when we bring Him into that, it changes everything.
True. If you're not doing life with the Holy Spirit, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
That's very needed.
Yeah. Now we want to move on to the next segment, which is really talking about healthy and unrealistic expectations in a marriage relationship specifically. This can be a really big one.
Yes.
And in the 26 and a half years that I've been married, we've had quite a journey of these things, you know, and if I were to look back, especially to those early days, I had a lot of unspoken high, unhealthy expectations on my husband. Mm-hmm. And I know he had some on me too, but we were not great about communicating some of these things. And it's like, it's having this kind of mindset like, oh, I know he will know what I need without me saying it. I had this desire for him to know me, but I had this expectation that he would know me without ever...
Without me telling him anything.
Like, what? Again, when I say it out loud, I think, wow, that's a really unrealistic expectation, but it felt like a real expectation. And it felt like one I needed to have. Or, like, I want you to see me and know what I like without me having to tell you. I remember literally having that conversation with Dad when you guys were younger. Like, I'd be like, why don't you ever help with the dishes? Like, well, I didn't know you needed help. You just need to say. And I was like, well, can't you see? I'm like, you know, tired. Can't you look around and see
with your eyeballs? I'm not your mom.
But also, that's not really a fair expectation to have.
No.
And so we just want to talk about, like, how do you navigate those moments, you know?
Yes. I actually have my own example of an unrealistic, unspoken expectation. So, long story short, when Jordan and I first got together, I decided I didn't care about romance. I didn't care about mushiness. And I was like, you know, it's fine. I don't need any of that stuff. Like, I'm not a mushy person. I'm not a romantic girl. It's fine. And he still would do sweet things here and there. But I had communicated to him, don't worry about the romance, okay?
Right.
It's fine. Like, as far as, like, when I think romance, I'm thinking, like, flowers and, like, notes and stuff like that. Whatever, gifts. So then a few months ago, I started to go, you know what? I think I kind of care about it. And it would kind of be, some of it came from expectations already of, like, we would come around to date night and I'd kind of be like, oh, he's for sure going to get flowers on the way home. And then he wouldn't get them. And I would be like, and I would almost tank our date nights because I'm in my head spiraling. Yeah. Like, well, why doesn't he care enough just to, like, go out of his way for me? Blah, blah, blah. So then eventually I realized, before I had really communicated to him, I was like, oh, I decided that romance was important to me and I didn't tell. Like, I didn't, I didn't let him know. So then I let him know. Okay. I had a halfway communication. I said, hey babe, you know what? I think when we first got together, I was actually just afraid of being too much of a person. I didn't want to give you something else to worry about. So blah, blah, blah. All that to say, I do care about romance now. So if now you could start doing romance, that would be great. And he's like, cool. I'm like, great. But even from there, I then started, okay, well, now I've communicated I need romance, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm still, I would work up these things. Oh, he's probably doing this for me on his way home. Oh, he's probably doing this. No, he wasn't doing him.
Right.
And I would get so frustrated and we would start to have these things. And then at the end of the day, I realized this is not fair when he has never, our whole relationship, he has not had to think with a romance mind. He has not had to learn any of these things. He hasn't
turned the romance button
on. So I'm like, I literally have to say, hey, it is more meaningful if you get me flowers on a random Tuesday than on my birthday.
Yeah.
So I would actually really love if you would get me flowers on a random Tuesday. A week later, he comes home with flowers on a random Tuesday.
Yeah.
So that's like, I had all these in my mind. And even now I'm thinking, oh yeah, I probably have still done it the last few weeks of just like, even though we're girls and we want to be romanced and pursued, and that those it's good things to want to be pursued by your husband. But
yeah,
if we have a whole movie idea in our head of how it should happen and should look, but we haven't told them that, we can't necessarily expect them to just come up with this on their own.
And I think really deeply inside of our husbands, they want to be pursued by us as well.
Yeah.
You know, but I was thinking about this too. Like sometimes I'll go, oh, hon, we should do a date night soon. AKA, I'm expecting you to plan a date night, but I'm not saying that. And it's like, okay, so we throw this like idea out there. I'm putting it in quotes with my hands, even though you can't see.
Yes. We should do this,
meaning I'm expecting you. I'm putting this high expectation on you. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, hey, babe, I really think it'd be good to have a date night. Is this something you can plan, or is this something that I need to, you know, facilitate? At the end of the day, I used to think that mattered. I realized it doesn't matter. The point is that we're having time together.
Yeah.
But if I indirectly communicate that but don't say this is the expectation that you're going to plan the date night, then we're just setting ourselves up for tension in the relationship and a lack of connection in the moment.
100%. So what would you say realistic and communicated expectations look like or come from in marriage?
Well, I think one, recognizing that it's a journey of continued communication. It's not like we're going to sit down and have this conversation one time and now you should know my expectations. This isn't like, oh, here's a list of my expectations. I need you to like go down and fulfill them for me. That's not what we're talking about. But it is talking about actually having the real conversations like, hey, there are some things that I recognize that might be some expectations I have. And even acknowledging maybe some of these aren't realistic, but I still would like to have the conversation with you.
Yeah.
So for us, like I remember the season where it felt like, oh, for whatever reason, I wanted him to plan the date nights, but I never said that, but I definitely insinuated it and expected him to read between the lines. So when he didn't, there was this frustration of, oh, I don't feel pursued or I don't feel. And it's coming for me, it's coming back to that point as a woman where I didn't value myself. So I was looking for him to value me in those expectations when that really wasn't his job to do. And so we would sit down and we would have a conversation and we would be like, he's like, so are you expecting me to plan all the date nights? And I was like, well, actually, yeah, maybe that is what I did expect.
Yeah.
And he's like, that feels like a lot of pressure. And then when he said it, it was like, oh, I realize I don't want you to feel that kind of pressure. So we came up with a thing in this seat. And this was like, I think when you guys were younger, where we alternated choosing date nights. So one, it took the pressure off of any expectations that we had of one another. We made a clear plan.
Yeah.
Communicated. What are the boundaries around this plan so that we don't put another set of high expectations on each other, like, hey, are we going to have a budget? Are we going to say like once a month we're going to have an at-home date night or whatever it looked like?
Yeah.
And that way we were able to talk about the expectations, but then also go, what's realistic for this season that we're in? And so then we spent time going back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, I think communication is one of probably the biggest keys to those expectations. You can't put these expectations on your spouse and not be willing to have communication and talk that through.
Yes.
And when we say communication, it doesn't mean, oh, I'm just expecting you to do these things for me.
No, we're talking it through.
Yeah.
So would you say like healthy expectations in a marriage come from agreements that you agree upon? So if we agree to alternate date nights,
yeah,
then I can have a, if I planned tonight's date night, I have can have a realistic expectation that you will plan next week's date night.
Yeah.
Or
unless we communicate otherwise. Right.
And if we've communicated that you will feed the dog on Monday and Wednesday, then I can healthily and realistically expect you will feed the dog.
Yes. Like, I think back to some of the conflict that we've had in our marriage over the years, and I think how much of that was based on unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
And if we had known back then, like just being able to communicate with one or just to one another, just to talk about it, how that would have disarmed some of the bumps along the way that we hit, which then over time built resentment, like what you were saying earlier, because while I have all these expectations and now I resent you for not fulfilling these unspoken expectations.
Yeah. I actually have a friend that's about to get married, and she asked me the other day, what's your number one advice, like piece of advice for, you know, I'm about to be married. And I said, figure out what expectations you have in your mind and determine whether they're realistic or not.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that has been the key to so many things. Not only this type of expectation of like, I've drummed up something for you to do in my head or some, you know, whatever, but also, what did I come into marriage expecting marriage to be like? And am I willing to let that go?
Yeah.
Because where did I get that from? Probably movies. Yeah. And that's not real life, people. Okay. Like, most of the issues have literally been, we're about to hit the 2-year mark. And I've kind of realized like, oh, there are still things I'm thinking will eventually happen that I see in movies.
Yeah.
And they're not going to happen if we don't talk about them. Like, I can't just expect them to happen. So I will be preaching expectations for the mountaintops.
I think you will find, too, the more that you're able to talk about the expectations, the more fulfilling the your relationship will be, because it comes back down to the whole building connection with one another. So when we give space and grace for each other and say, hey, and I think even just how we communicate it, like, hey, I realize I have these expectations and I don't know if they're really realistic, but I would love to talk them through with you.
Yeah.
It's not saying, hey, I have a demand of you and I expect you to fulfill this. It disarms and says, hey, I'd really like to maybe see if we can navigate this together.
Yeah.
And you help me figure out what parts of this expectation are healthy and maybe what parts do I need to let go of and release and not put that on you.
And even like, I'm thinking of a conversation I recently had with Jordan of him being like, well, I want to help you around the house. Just tell me what needs to be done. Yeah. And I'm like, can't you just look around? Literally, like, I am not your mom. Like,
they don't
can you
that
not
way.
See the dishes that are full? Da, 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 da. So even that's me saying, I could go back to him now. I'm thinking, oh, I should probably talk to him about this tonight. Like, hey, babe, I think I've had an expectation that you will look around and see what needs to be done and jump in and help. How do you feel about that? And I know he's going to say, well, my brain just doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
Cause
I feel like I had that expectation, like now we're talking about, I'm like, I think I had the expectation on you guys as
of
kids.
Us?
Like, especially when you were teenagers, I'm like, well, can't you see that the dishes need done? Instead of just saying, hey, I need you to do the dishes tonight.
Yeah.
And then I would get frustrated at everyone because mom did all the work. Like, just put myself in this ridiculous spiral. I'm really sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry.
I am sorry, but I also know there's forgiveness. So it's like,
well, yes,
I can recognize where I have gone wrong and then say, let's all learn from it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we do to just help this is we've started this the last several months called weekly check-ins, and it might look differently for you or whoever, but for us, it's a Sunday night. We sit on the back porch together while the weather's nice. And one of us will start the conversation. We're like, hey, what are some things that maybe I didn't quite meet you in this week that you needed me to show up for? And then what are some areas where I can show up for you this next week? So one, that allows those conversations like, ooh, yeah, you know, I had some expectations or I was hoping this would happen and it didn't, but I realized, you know, maybe that wasn't fair to expect that of you, but also allows them to share.
Yeah.
And it also gives you an opportunity to show up for them, because this isn't just about us having expectations.
Not at all.
They have expectations of us too, you know, like our husbands might come home from work and expect to be able to sit in front of the TV for 30 minutes because they've had a really
just
stressful day. And for a man, like that's where they need to go into that nothing box and like just kind of compress everything from the day. But we may have an expectation of them that, you know, they're going to help with the kids or help with dinner or whatever. So just having those conversations, navigating like, hey, I know it's going to be a stressful week this week. So I feel like I'm going to need some space when I come home this week. So that's a way you can show up for me, is just allowing me to have that 30-minute window or whatever.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Another question you could add to your check-in is either like, how can I love you better?
Yeah.
Or how can I support you well this week?
That's good.
You talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
Because then it gives you a kind of framework of like, okay, these days are more stressful for him at work or stressful for me. So then we can adjust our expectations. I'm going to not really expect much out of the night or whatever. You know, I'm going to let him be to himself, or I'm going to take some time for myself.
Would you say this is accurate? When we, how do I want to say this? When we feel loved and seen, when we don't feel loved and seen, it affects our behavior, which then affects the way that we treat our spouse.
Yes.
So, but it's not, oh, I'm waiting to be seen and loved by you. It's like, because I know I can be seen and loved by you, I'm going to change my behavior.
Yeah.
And so we make a choice to break that cycle of maybe dysfunction where we don't feel loved and seen, but like, hey, I'm going to actually change the way that this is going.
Yeah. Well, and when you're owning it and you're being proactive of like, how can I support you? Even if you're the one to initiate it, I guarantee you if your spouse turns around and goes, well, how can I support you? And you're able to share, you're going to walk away from that conversation feeling supported, feeling like you guys are a team, and feeling motivated to do what you can to serve and love your spouse throughout the week.
Yeah. The Lord's really been convicting me just about loving one another. And that includes our spouse. And I think sometimes we can be the hardest and the most unkind with those closest to us. And how much we have the opportunity to show grace in those situations. And so that even does mean taking a hard look at where have I placed some expectations on you that are not realistic?
Yeah.
And do I value these expectations more than I value connection with you, and I value the heart and the core of our relationship, which ultimately is about connecting with one another. So with like, I'm willing to let the expectations go.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Or at least have that conversation.
100%. And a lot of this will also apply with friendships or family members, obviously differently because you're not married to them, but the same thing goes for, say you have an unspoken expectation that you and your friend are going to hang out every Monday. Do they know that? Like just kind of those same principles you can apply. But we kind of want to flip it and also talk about, what do you do when you are feeling the either unrealistic or unspoken expectations of other people on yourself?
Yeah, that's good. What do you do?
What do you do? So something I learned when I was at ministry school in California, one of the key things that has changed my life is recognizing that I am a powerful person. So what does this mean? That I am responsible for myself and my feelings and how I react to people.
Yep.
I am not responsible for your feelings and how you react to people.
Yeah.
Now, this is not to use this to go be a jerk to everybody and be like, well, I'm not responsible for how you respond. No, but you are responsible for your actions.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about expectations, let's pretend that you have a grandma who has never told you, but you can feel this, like she just expects you to go over to her house every single night for dinner when you're in town to visit all of your family. If she has not communicated that to you, you are not responsible for that. You're not responsible for meeting that unspoken expectation.
Yeah.
Now, if you're on the phone chatting with grandma, hey, I'm coming next week, you know, to see everybody. She's like, oh, I had this idea or this, like, I was thinking we could have dinner together every night and blah, 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 blah. Then right then she's communicated, I'm expecting you to have dinner with me every night. And you're like, oh, you know what? I love your intentionality to hang out. I actually am only going to be available for dinner this day and this day.
Yeah.
So that already sets you up a lot better going into things.
Yeah.
But if they're not communicating that to you, then you can, it is kind of your responsibility to come in a place of love and be direct if you care about the relationship, right?
Yeah.
So it's not going, well, I'm a powerful person and my grandma doesn't know how to be, she doesn't know how to communicate her expectations. Okay, I don't know what just happened, but Mom started laughing and it made me laugh.
I accidentally let a burp slip out. I'm really sorry.
I
started laughing.
I don't know what just happened and I don't even know what I was saying right there.
You're talking about grandma.
Anyways, what's the word? Comedic relief?
Yeah.
For you in the middle of expectations. So, you are responsible. Let's start here.
Yes.
To come from a place of love and be direct with your grandma. So being a powerful person does not mean, well, grandma has unspoken expectations, so I'm just not going to have a relationship with her because I'm powerful and I don't have to be responsible for her. Like, you have to, it's this kind of beautiful, like, both and of, I am not responsible for stuff that she is not communicating to me.
Yeah.
But I am responsible. I am half the party in our relationship. And if I care about it and I value it, I'm going to go to her and try to have a conversation. If I'm noticing, it feels like she always has these ideas for me, but doesn't really tell me about them. And then she gets disappointed. So I'm going to say, hey, I really value our relationship, Grandma. It seems like you might have some ideas and expectations of me that you haven't really shared. And I'm kind of watching you get disappointed when I can't meet these. Would you agree with that? And then you kind of go from there.
Yeah. What would you say to the person who maybe can feel that and sense that tension, but maybe has tried to have those conversations in the past and it doesn't land well? So it feels like maybe it's not worth having the conversation. How can they, like,
okay,
how can they manage that process?
So
internally?
If there's no room for you to have conversations, like, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, say someone isn't willing to have.
Okay.
That.
So say you're just kind of managing this relationship and you've tried, but it's not going anywhere as far as you can't have conversations.
Right.
Then that's when you stick to, I'm a powerful person, and it's just going to be kind of uncomfortable, but it's setting up those boundaries of, if you know it's always an issue when you come in town, you're going to communicate ahead of time.
Yeah.
Not really, like, not anticipating what they're going to say and then trying to beat them to it, but just going, like, you can communicate your clear boundaries and plans and kind of set expectations for them.
Gotcha.
If that's they don't want to communicate it. So you can be like, and you have to be powerful in thinking, okay, I know that my grandma would prefer I have dinner with her every night, but I'm not responsible for how emotional she might feel if I can't do that.
Right.
I'm responsible for clearly communicating my plans in a loving way. So, hey, Grandma, I'm coming in town next week. I would love to have dinner with you Monday and Friday if you're available.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, I'll be seeing other family members. And then you're responsible for what you just said. And if she reacts in emotion or whatever, you can be like, you know, I understand it's really frustrating. However, this is what I'm going to do because I care about all of the family.
Yeah.
The end. So it's kind of, though, that will be more uncomfortable, but that's more holding the line.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
Reinforcing your boundaries. Another great line to use if you're trying to have a conversation, maybe, that is going somewhere, is you can say, I will not be able to love you well if you're not fully communicating to me what you're feeling and what you need. So
gives them a chance to speak up.
Yeah. I think, depending on your family, probably the biggest issue or area that we see issues with expectations is marriage by default. But those are just some other ways that you can have in your mind, you know, if you're having a difficult family.
Or even in-laws versus, you know what I mean? Like, you're learning to work with a whole new set of expectations that maybe you're even completely unaware of. And, like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I remember just, one of the things that I think I would encourage you as a couple, if you're dealing with maybe, say, in-laws and conversations about time together, whatever, is be in unity as a couple. Like, have those conversations together, not in front
Set
of
your
the family.
Between the two of you.
Yeah, and that way you have come to an agreement together. Like, this is how we're going to handle this situation or this conversation, or this is how, when this does come up, how we're going to be in agreement together. Because then it's not you versus them, or, you know, it's us and what we're going to walk together in love towards.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I was going to say that. Definitely set your expectations together. What can we handle? How do we want to approach things? And then go from there.
Yeah, that's good.
So, in conclusion, to summarize, expectation talk. Expectations come from our values and desires of what it should be or should look like. Unrealistic expectations happen when we expect exact outcomes or if we have unspoken expectations. Communicating our needs and expectations is a big way to diffuse any expectation hurdle bombs.
Yes.
And then in the midst of others' expectations, remember that you are a powerful person responsible for yourself and not others' responses or expectations that they have not communicated.
Yeah.
So if you have had any experiences like this, or you try out something and it goes well or it doesn't go well, we would love to hear from you. You can head over to our Instagram at thehomeproject.co and send us a message and see what we got going on there. You can also join our community if you head over to our website, thehomeproject.co.